Welcome in the name of Jesus, the Savior of the world. We are gathered to worship, to proclaim Christ crucified and risen, to remember before God our sister Ruth, to give thanks for her life, to commend her to our merciful Redeemer, and to comfort one another in our grief. All who are baptized into Christ have put on Christ. In her baptism, Ruth was clothed with Christ. In the day of Christ's coming, she shall be clothed with glory. Eternal God, maker of heaven and earth, who formed us from the dust of the earth, who by your breath gave us life, we glorify you. We glorify you. Jesus Christ, the resurrection and the life, who suffered death for all humanity, who rose from the grave to open the way to eternal life, we praise you. We praise you. Holy Spirit, author and giver of life, the comforter of all who sorrow, our sure confidence and everlasting hope, we worship you.
We worship you.
To you, O blessed Trinity, be glory and honor forever and ever. Amen. I invite you to stand for the processional hymn. It's number 853. The hymnals are either in the rack in front of you in the pews, or if you're sitting in one of the chairs in the rack below, and if there isn't one, you guys in the front, kind of, there's some over here on the side if you want to sneak over and grab one. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. O God of grace and glory, we remember before you today our sister Ruth. We thank you for giving her to us to know and to love as a companion in our pilgrimage on earth. In your boundless compassion, console us who mourn. Give us faith to see that death has been swallowed up in the victory of our Lord Jesus Christ, so that we may live in confidence and hope, until by your call we are gathered to our heavenly home in the company of all your saints, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. You may be seated, and at this point I invite Greg to come forward for a time of remembrance.
Morning. I'm Greg Cliff. Grandma Ruth was my grandmother, by way of her daughter, Gwen. Wife, mother, grandma, grandma great, friend, Swede, Lutheran. There were a lot of words that describe grandma. I think the word to me that best describes her is strong. Grandma had strong hands. She grew up on a farm. And after she had made the move to Friendship Manor and then Bickford, she still talked about moving from the farm like it was the hardest move that she made in her life. She loved the farm, and it made her into a strong person. When asked about her childhood, she was very quick to tell everyone that she much preferred to be outside helping her dad with farm chores than inside with her mother and her sisters. That's just where her heart was. She wanted to be outside working. And I remember she once told me that after church she would come home and her mother would play hymns on the piano after church on Sundays. And knowing how much she loved music, I asked her why didn't she ever learn to play the piano? And she said she was too busy being outside, that's just where she wanted to be. So even though with that strong love of music, her heart was really outside on that farm. And I recently heard a story from the aunt about how when she was young, she chose to skip a family vacation to stay home and mind the farm so she could earn a pony. That's just what she wanted, was a pony more than anything. And we all heard stories about how much she loved that pony and got to be with it. So it's not a big surprise to me that when she did finally find a hobby that kept her indoors more, that she started baking. A hobby that takes a lot of strength, I have found out. Earlier this year, Emily decided she wanted to bake some bread and some cinnamon rolls from scratch. And she was in there kneading the dough, and she asked me to come help out for a little while because being pregnant, she got tired. And I started working at it. I had no idea how much work it takes to knead dough. I was in there for just a couple minutes, and I'm like, oh, gotta tag out. And Grandma she spent hours in the kitchen baking and baking. And now I just know how much strength it took of her hands to just be in there working. After she had her stroke, the doctors were in the room with her doing strength exercises to see if she had all her coordination. I remember the doctor saying, wow, your hands are so strong. And she said, well, that's because I was a farmer. And so, I know she got her strength there, but I also think it was the hands of the baker that were pushing back. You know, she'd worked those arms out for years. Grandma was also a person of very strong faith. Her faith was so important to her, and it was visible of every aspect in her life. And her Lutheran faith, especially, was such a big part of her identity. She was a very active member of every church that she was a member of. Just how much her faith was so strong. We all remember going to church with her and how that was such a big part of every family gathering. Wherever we were, whether it was for holidays going to church or just on a normal Sunday when family was in town, taking up two or three pews and the church, I see we're taking up a few more pews now. And I just remember being all together through so many church services. And I know she's passed that strong faith on to her family with everyone that is still so strongly involved in their various church families. And that's still a big part of gathering for us, is to be together in church. And I think she would have found this service very fitting and as a very appropriate remembrance for her. Grandma had a strong laugh. When you'd heard it, it was just so loud. And when you heard it, you couldn't help but join in. And even if she was in a room full of family laughing, you could hear her laugh rise above everyone. And she had such an amazing sense of humor. I know sometimes we could think she could also be very serious, but that sense of humor came through in everything. Whether it was laughing along with family or telling slightly off-color jokes about hanging baskets, And if you haven't heard that joke, ask Celeste or Leslie to tell you it later, because it's a good one. She loved to laugh, and she laughed with us so much. And, I mean, honestly, I'm going to miss her laugh so much now. It was so beautiful. And even in the end of her life, when things were difficult, she kept laughing, and she liked to laugh. I remember her being in with her doctors after the stroke and laughing, making them laugh about how hard it is to get old. And she just always kept laughing. It may not be a surprise to anyone here, but Grandma also had strong opinions. And she wasn't afraid to share them. You always knew about how Grandma felt about any decision that you ever made, and you always hoped that she approved, because if you didn't, you sure hoped you didn't get, "Oh, honestly." Or later in life, "Well, whatever." When Grandma made up her mind, she made up her mind, and she stuck to what she believed. You didn't want to get on her bad side, but it was pretty hard to do that, and you really would stay on her good side most of the time. She kept her beliefs even as times changed. I think we all kind of experienced, as some of us made choices to say move in with our spouses before we got married. And even though times changed, Grandma never accepted that as normal. So I know even a few years ago when I told her I was moving in with Emily, the first thing she said, "But you're not getting married?" And I said, "Not yet." I think that's coming down the line. Grandma was a strong woman. She did things that you wouldn't expect. She played basketball on her high school team back in the 30s. At 16, there were some neighbors that needed to drive to Minneapolis, but they couldn't drive. And Grandma, at 16, drove them up to Minneapolis and back. And that's at 16. And she told me a story about when Grandpa was in the Navy and was stationed on the East Coast. She wanted to drive out to visit him, and there was another young man from nearby that he'd been on leave and he was driving back. And so they'd agreed that he would ride with them and split up the driving. But she said that the night before, he stayed out with his gal and was up pretty late. And so he slept the entire way, and Grandma made that drive all the way out to the East Coast herself. But that was just, she never minded. She could do that. We know how strong she was. At 96, she suffered a stroke, and she recovered almost full. And it's just so amazing. She was so healthy and so strong right up to the end. Grandma was a strong mother, and she was such a strong motherly figure. She was a true matriarch of the family. And she loved her family fiercely, from her daughters all the way down to her many great-grandchildren. And she was so proud of the family that she founded with Grandpa. And we're a strong family. I look out and I see us, and I see us all together, and I see how often we're together. And we are such a strong family, and this family means so much to me, and I know it means so much to all of us. She kept track of what everyone was doing. Even at the end, when her memory was starting to fade, she was still the best place to get family news and family updates. And she always knew when people were coming to visit and what people were doing. And that was just so important to her. And we know how all of her homes were covered in photos. At the house in Rock Island, she had a whole wall that was basically the family shrine. And her fridge was always covered in pictures. And she always was generous with her time and her resources. She helped out so many of us over the years. And she went out of her way to spread that help equally, where if she had given something to someone, she made sure to share that equally with everyone. She was so supportive. And she was so supportive even if she didn't agree with the choices we were making. And she might have let us know she didn't agree, but she still supported us. And it was just unconditional. I knew, even if you knew that, you know, no matter how she felt, her love was unconditional. And Grandma had such strong love. She loved music. It was such a part of her that it just came out all the time, whether she was humming in the kitchen or whistling, or my favorite way that her love of music combined with her farming background, if she was clucking in the kitchen. Everybody remembers her absent-minded, and she denied that she did it, but I loved it so much. I remember being in her house just sitting in the living room and how comforting it was just to hear her working in the kitchen and humming, whistling, or clucking, and I loved it, and I miss it. I will miss that so much. Music was so important to her, and she's passed that love of music on to the family. We are so blessed to have so many talented musicians in the family, and I know she was so proud of that, so proud. She went to every concert and every show that anyone was ever a part of. Even when I know at the end she couldn't hear that well, she wanted to be there and be a part of it and hear it. It was so amazing. She loved her husband. They had such a strong bond and set such a strong example for all of us. And we know it was a strong love because she followed him off the farm when he decided to go back to teaching. And I don't think there was any power on earth that could have brought her off the farm other than the love of her husband. She had so much love for her family. She loved biking. She loved driving. We all remember how much biking they did. She would bike up to McDonald's with the grandchildren. She and Grandpa biked all the way out to Swedesburg. And for anyone who makes that drive later today, just think about that they biked all the way out there. And I think they were in their 60s. And I always heard the story that on the way there, Grandpa had to lay his bike down and lay down in the ditch. And he said he wasn't going to make it. But knowing Grandma, I bet she wasn't even fazed. And she wanted to keep going. She loved us all so much. And when I think of Grandma, I think of that strength. I think of that strength, her strong laughter, her strong faith, her strong love of family. And I know we're all going to remember that. And I see it's holding us together, and that is just how I'm going to remember her. And I hope that I just have a small part of that strong love. And Grandma, we all love you so much. We're all going to miss you so much. But I'm so glad that you're at peace now with Grandpa and Mom. And I can't wait till we meet again.
A reading from Ruth. But Ruth said, "Do not press me to leave you or to turn back from following you. Where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God my God. Where you die, I will die. There will I be buried. May the Lord do thus and so to me, and more as well, if even death parts me from you."
Shepherd, so nothing shall I want. I rest in the meadows of peace. Good morning.
I'm Ron. I am the oldest grandson. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish but have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him.
A reading from the book of John, the 14th chapter. In my Father's house, there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me.
It is difficult, in the few words of an obituary, to accurately and appropriately sum up a person's life. In the obituary for Ruth, for instance, we learn the basics of her life, a timeline of sorts. We read of her birth in Mount Pleasant in 1920. Her parents, France and Otelia, are named. It tells of her marriage to Les in 1940 in Swedesburg and of his death in 2009. We read that she grew up on the family farm, that she enjoyed working with horses, and that she was an avid baker. Describes a couple of her memberships here at St. James and the Swedish Museum in Swedesburg. Ruth, we read, loved music, especially singing and listening to hymns. It also notes that some of her other interests included bike riding, driving, and taking care of her beloved dog, Gabby. Finally, the obituary notes her surviving family, her daughters Kay, Joan, and Jean, and their spouses, her grandchildren, Laura, Ron, Chris, Leslie, Andrew, Sarah, Amy, Celeste, Carly, Craig, and Michael, and that she had 19 great-grandchildren, and I suspect that if it weren't for the space involved, you would have named all 19 of them because they were all important to her. And we read, too, that she was preceded in death not only by her parents and husband, but also two sisters, and sadly, a daughter, Gwen. In all, the obituary presents a brief and fairly one-dimensional picture of Ruth Anderson. To complete the picture of Ruth, at least for me, I sat in on the arrangements the other day and listened as the family talked a little more about their mother and grandmother. Among other things, I learned that to say that Ruth liked bike riding may be a little bit of an understatement, as Greg was talking about that on one occasion she and Les rode their bikes to Swedesburg, and what is that, 70 miles or something like that? That's impressive to me, and especially if they did it in their 60s. That's significantly more than just a leisurely ride around town, which they did frequently as well. They also told me how she loved her family. And the farm was much more than just the place where she grew up. She loved the farm and farming. And the story, again, was shared about how when she was, and I think you said 10 or 12 when the family took a vacation, and she turned down going with them for the trip so that she could stay and tend the farm and earn that pony that she wanted. They also recalled Ruth talking about her athletic prowess as a member of her high school basketball team. That was back in the days when in girls' basketball in high school, the girls were not allowed to cross the center line, so he played half court, both sides. And that she was proud of the trophy that she earned as a part of the team, a keepsake that I understand she has passed on to great-granddaughter Grace for safekeeping. I also made a brief inquiry into her Swedishness, being of Swedish heritage myself. I had to ask, and I ask this of any Swede that I meet, what Ruth thought of lutefisk, and was glad to learn that she, too, did not like it. So we can rest assured that lutefisk will not be on the menu for today's lunch. Right? Right? I'm pretty sure, I'm confident of that, because if it were, we'd be smelling it up here already, and half of you would have left. For those of you who are not of Swedish or Norwegian heritage, and have never had to experience lutefisk, all I can say is count your blessings. But there were other Swedish delicacies that she did like. I think the family mentioned, I hope, krumkaka, right? Somebody, no? Ostkaka. Oh, see, now I did this all wrong. I like krumkaka. That's a cookie. Ostkaka is... rice pudding. Okay, which is all... Yeah. All right. Okay, well, and if we have that downstairs, that would be fine with me as well. With lingonberries on it, maybe? Okay, all right. And the obituary talks about rusk as well. And they talked about what seemed to be a specialty of Ruth's, Swedish rye bread. I would like to take a moment to reflect on that rye bread. But not so much about the rye bread itself, but about making the bread. And Greg talked about this too. In my life before children, I used to make bread fairly regularly. So I have an appreciation for what goes into that task. In fact, the last time I made bread was in a bread machine, an appliance that I am willing to bet Ruth never used. Instead, she would have taken the more time-consuming route of proofing the yeast and being careful not to kill it, which I have done on a number of occasions, mixing the ingredients and kneading the dough by hand, which, if you've never made bread, really is a task in and of itself. Then she would have found the perfect place to let that bread rise, a place not too warm or too cold. Then she would have kneaded it again and set it aside to rise a second time. Finally, she would have placed it in the oven to bake, filling the house with the aroma of molasses and anise. Baking bread, no matter what kind, takes dedication to the process and great patience. I wonder if, along with strength, dedication and patience might be two phrases that also describe Ruth. She was certainly dedicated to her family. That was obvious to me by the stories that they shared about her the other day at the funeral home, and Greg's eulogy here this morning. And I would guess that she also had to be patient in caring for her husband, whom she followed from the farm to the classroom, and dedicated and patient in raising four daughters. I don't want to assume too much here, but I know the challenges my mother had in raising four sons, and I bet raising girls was no piece of cake either. I suspect that there were times when her children didn't quite live up to mom's expectations. Likewise, I am certain that her family also needed occasional patience and dedication when dealing with her. She was, I am equally certain, not perfect, and at times tried the patience of her family and friends. Those are the realities of any human relationship. None of us are perfect, and we all try the patience of the people in our lives from time to time. And the same could also be said of Ruth's relationship with God. Like all of us here, there would have been times when she failed to live up to God's expectations. Dedication and patience, however, describe not only Ruth, but God as well. Like Ruth, God is dedicated to his children and patient with them, even when they are challenging or fail to live up to God's expectations. Like the biblical character Ruth, God stays with his children, even when they may be wandering far away. That's the dedication that's described in John's gospel when he writes about God's love for the world. It's important to understand that in John's gospel, the world is often at odds with God. It is constantly challenging God and failing to live as God expects. Yet even though the world is antagonistic toward God, God still loves it so much that he sends his only son to die for it, to save it. God patiently waits for his children while they wander and always seeks to bring them home. And Ruth was one of those children. That's the promise that Paul talks about in his letter to the Romans when he writes, "Knowing all these things, I am more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I'm convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." Nothing. Nothing, Paul says, can stop God from loving his children. No grief, no illness, nothing. Not even death itself. That's the promise that God made to Ruth and to all of his children through baptism. This morning, we have the difficult task of saying goodbye to Ruth. Your earthly relationships with her as mother and mother-in-law, as grandmother and great-grandmother, as aunt, and as friend, now come to an end. That's the reason for the sadness that you no doubt feel this day. But at the same time, it is important to remember God's patience and dedication for his children. God will never abandon Ruth or any of us. He, as Jesus tells his disciples, has prepared a place for her in his heavenly kingdom. It is a place where there are no tears or pain or grief, but only joy in God's eternal presence. Amen. I would invite you to stand and join in singing the hymn number, hymn Day by Day, number 790.
Thank you.
Let us confess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. That's printed on page 3 of the bulletin. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, you have knit your chosen people together in one communion, in the mystical body of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Give to your whole church in heaven and on earth your light and your peace. God of mercy, hear our prayer. Grant that all who have been baptized into Christ's death and resurrection may die to sin and rise to newness of life, that through the grave and gate of death we may pass with him to our joyful resurrection. God of mercy, hear our prayer. Grant to us who are still in our pilgrimage and to walk as yet by faith, that your Holy Spirit may lead us in holiness and righteousness all our days. God of mercy, hear our prayer. Grant to your faithful people pardon and peace, that we may be cleansed from all our sins and serve you with a quiet mind. God of mercy, hear our prayer. Grant to all who mourn a sure confidence in your loving care, that casting all their sorrow on you, they may know the consolation of your love. God of mercy, hear our prayer. Give courage and faith to those who are bereaved, that they may have strength to meet the days ahead in the comfort of a holy and certain hope and in the joyful expectation of eternal life with those they love. God of mercy, hear our prayer. Help us, we pray, in the midst of things we cannot understand, to believe and trust in the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, and the resurrection to life everlasting. God of mercy, hear our prayer. Grant us grace to entrust Ruth to your never-failing love, which sustained her in this life. Receive her into the arms of your mercy, and remember her according to the favor you bear for your people. God of mercy, hear our prayer. God of all grace, you sent your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, to bring life and immortality to light. We give you thanks because by his death, Jesus destroyed the power of death, and by his resurrection has opened the kingdom of heaven to all believers. Make us certain that because he lives, we shall live also, and that neither death nor life, nor things present nor things to come, shall be able to separate us from your love, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always.
Also with you.
Let's take a moment and share God's peace with one another. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. We lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give our thanks and praise. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who rose from the dead and in whom our hope of resurrection dawns. The sting of death has been removed by the glorious promise of his risen life. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. You are indeed holy, Almighty and merciful God. You are most holy, and great is the majesty of your glory. You so loved the world that you gave your only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. We give you thanks for his coming into the world to fulfill for us your holy will and to accomplish all things for our salvation. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." For as often as we eat of this bread and drink from this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Remembering, therefore, his salutary command, his life-giving passion and death, his glorious resurrection and ascension, and the promise of his coming again, we give thanks to you, O Lord God Almighty, not as we ought, but as we are able. We ask you mercifully to accept our praise and thanksgiving, and with your word and Holy Spirit to bless us, your servants, and these your own gifts of bread and wine, so that we and all who share in the body and blood of Christ may be filled with heavenly blessing and grace, and receiving the forgiveness of sin, may be formed to live as your holy people and be given our inheritance with all your saints. To you, O God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be all honor and glory in your holy church, now and forever. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. You may be seated. Please stand for the prayer after communion. Let us pray. Almighty God, we thank you that in your great love, you have given us a foretaste of your heavenly banquet. Grant that this sacrament may be to us a comfort in affliction and a pledge of our inheritance in that kingdom where there is no death, neither sorrow nor crying, but the fullness of joy with all your saints. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us commend Ruth to the mercy of God, our Maker and Redeemer. Into your hands, O merciful Savior, we commend your servant Ruth. Acknowledge, we humbly beseech you, a sheep of your own fold, a lamb of your own flock, a sinner of your own redeeming. Receive her into the arms of your mercy, into the blessed rest of everlasting peace, and into the glorious company of the saints in light. Amen. Before the dismissal, I want to make sure everybody knows that you're invited to head downstairs following the service for lunch. Everything is should be ready down there, so we'll head right down following the service. Let us go forth in peace, in the name of Christ. Amen. Our recessional hymn is number 773.